Look at Hebrews this morning. I think one of the things about that we are so confused about is faith. I'm not sure that we've been taught by our forefathers what really is faith. I think that faith should affect our life. It should change who we are. It should make possible the impossible in our lives through which God does through his son Jesus Christ. I know a freedom that I've been given is not to celebrate or be hold to the traditions of men. You know, everybody comes now and we're rehashing. To be honest with you, I'm tired of the rehashing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of the rehashing of his birth. I'm sick and tired of just going through the motions of the history of what God did in our world and not seeing the proof of it. You know, it's easy for us to put on plays. It's easy for us to come here and celebrate this special time when every Sunday should be exactly the same. God does not declare one holy day above another. When he said the day that you gather together will be a holy day. And we've allowed man to dictate that. And, you know, I enjoy the freedom that God's given me that I'm not stuck to that. I think about his resurrection every day. I think about what it's done in my life every day. And it's through faith that this all comes about, that I have this freedom that maybe some of you all don't have yet, that you're still stuck to these special occasions that man has made and thinking that somehow God is pleased that we put on plays and we put on Jesus' birthday parties. I think somehow we've fooled ourselves that God is pleased with that, and he's not pleased with that at all. He could care less about all of that, folks. What he cares about is where you spend eternity. And what he cares about is you become born again. And he provides a miraculous work in your life that allows you to do this. And it's all through faith that this happens. So let's look at this for a moment in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So understanding here that, first of all, it also tells us that in the flesh we can't please God. And that it says here, without faith it's impossible to please God. And we must believe that God, he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Well, the Bible says in Isaiah that no one seeks God, no, not one. So now you have to find out, what does this mean that he's a rewarder of those that seek him? Well, you don't seek God until he calls you. There has to be a call from God, which then should put that fear in you. Yes, because it's the perfect love of God that casts out all fears. And so we have to understand that this is something that God is orchestrating in our lives. And he is bringing about faith in our life. He gives us a measure of faith to believe. Faith is not something that we muster up. Something is not faith that comes from the human ability to have faith. Now, people believe that they have faith. They think, and I remember long ago when I was just a child, and they said, if you believe in your heart and you believe it with all your might, then, and you say this prayer, then you're going to go to heaven. It was nothing about being a child of God. It was nothing about my sin. It was nothing about anything the Bible talks about. There was no repentance that was needed in this. But it was all based on if I had enough faith that I could muster up and believe hard enough. And if I believed hard enough, then by George, I was in the kingdom of God. And that's what religion has done, is changed what God writes about faith and has turned it into now, if you believe it hard enough, you can go to heaven. And if you sacrifice enough, you go to heaven. If you celebrate Easter, then you're going to go to heaven. If you celebrate the birth of Christ, then you're going to go to heaven. I'm telling you, if you don't live the birth of Christ, and if you don't live the resurrection, you're not going to heaven. Do you hear what I said? If you don't live this, a whole lot different in living it than celebrating it. It's something that you need to be on your knees every day, if you can get on your knees. If not, then God, in your heart, you're prostrating yourself before Him. This is something that you need to be thinking about every day. This is not something that we do once a year or twice a year, or, you know, it's something that God expects you to do every day when He says you deny yourself daily, you put on the armor of God daily, you get ready for the battle that day is coming. Every day is a battle. Every day is a battle. And it's through faith that we believe that God is who He is. And without it, it's impossible. We have to believe who God is. So let's look at Ephesians 2, 7 through 11. It says, so that in ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So God finally sends His Son to give us a warning. It was God's love so that we don't perish. And Jesus was sent as this warning. And it's through the kindness of God that He would show this to us in the riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay? We don't bring anything to this table. It's the grace of God. We don't merit it. There's nothing we can do to make God be pleased with us. But you're saved through faith. So we're going to look at this a little bit deeper, what this faith, what it really means to have that faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift from God. So understand that you can't receive a gift if a gift's not given to you. And what we have in religion is people taking the gift before it's given to them. And it's not in faith. It's in their faith, not in the faith that God gives to believe. And when God gives a faith to believe, then it directs your life in a manner by which you begin to get faith by hearing the word of God. And that's the only place faith can come from. God has to give it to you as a gift, and then the ultimate gift is that Holy Spirit that resides in you. That's what seals you as a child of God, so that now you don't have to celebrate Easter and you don't have to celebrate Christmas as the pagans celebrate it, but you celebrate it every day. And worship is a form of that celebration. You want to celebrate Easter, you should have celebrated it last Sunday, and you should have celebrated it the Sunday before. And you should have celebrated the Sunday before. And you should have celebrated the Sunday before. And you should have celebrated the Sunday before. And you should have celebrated. I got to do this 52 times. It's not a result of the works so that no one may boast. I can't say that I found God. I can't say I gave my life to Christ, because that would be boasting. Instead, God brings us to the faith that He gives us, to humility. And it's through that humility that we turn our lives that He gives us over to Him. But until He quickens us to life, we're still dead in our trespasses of sin. It doesn't matter how many times we celebrate Easter or Christmas. For we are His workmanship. Okay? I can't sit here and say I had anything to do with that and say that God's might is the workmanship in my life. It's He's the workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He chose to do this through His Son for good works which God prepared beforehand so we walk in them. The good works that God's talking about is righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God, and we're to walk in that righteousness. That's the good works that he's prepared beforehand, that we do things based upon righteousness, not on what we think, not how we feel. But it takes away all emotion, but it's how God writes it in his commandments, and we're to follow those commandments, and we're to walk in those commandments, and that's what it means to walk in them. So let's go back to Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. God even defines faith for us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, this is why I hope Kentucky wins the national championship. There's no assurance in that. You see what I'm saying? So many people have a false hope in religion, hoping that when they die, they stand before God and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. But that's not going to happen if you don't do it the way that God says you have to do it. This assurance in this hope that we have is because God said it. Assurance is a sure thing. That's what assurance means, right? Unless I'm wrong. Assurance means that there's no question about it. God said it, it's going to happen. So as I read through the scriptures and find out all the things that God's saying, then I basically just believe those without questioning them. See, this is where belief comes in at, is that I believe God in who he is. I believe God in what he says. And I believe it happens the way that God says it happens, apart from myself. So it's assurance of things hoped for. And what are we hoping for? See, I think we've used this faith to hope for a lot of material things. I hope Trump wins the election. I heard this all from the religious world. It'll be better. America's going to come back to God. No, America's not going to come back to God because they're not going to repent. Okay, just because we lip service God doesn't mean that we're repenting of our evil and sinful ways and taking stands on God's commandments and say, thus saith the Lord, and thus we obey you, Lord. That's not happening. That's not going to happen. Okay? I hope this happens, and I hope I get a new job, and I hope, and I'm hoping on things with no assurance, because there's no way you can make those happen. My hope is in the creator of this world that says this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't become a new creature. If I'm not born again, I'm going to die and go to hell. That's what he told me. And there's assurance in that. And my hope is in Jesus Christ, in the fact that God raised him from the dead, and which then assured me that God was pleased with the payment for sin for humanity and saved all of humanity in that regards. But the individual application of that comes with the fact that there has to be a calling from Almighty God, and we're too busy being religious, we're too busy doing things for God that we can't hear him call in our life. Because we want to boast. We want to say we had something to do with it. When we don't come to the end of ourselves, and he says, if you don't come to the end of yourself, if you don't become poor in spirit, you can't get this. So see, my assurance is in the fact that I'm hoping for these things that God says will happen in my life. And there's assurance that it's going to happen if I do it the way that God says it's done. Can't happen. Nothing else can happen. Nothing else can happen. And then here's the neat part of this, and it's the conviction of things not seen. Who's the only one has the right to convict us of anything? The Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit use to convict you? The Word of God. Where does faith come from? Hearing the word of God. So all this faith that people are mustering up in the religious world is going to fall short in them coming to become a new creature and born again. If God doesn't give you the faith to believe, you can't believe. You can't become a child of God just because you believe. Something has to happen. There has to be a radical change in your nature by you becoming a new creature. So let's look at, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. So this is the beginning of faith, folks. It's to believe in God, who he says he is. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things which are visible. How much money and how much effort has humanity tried to figure out where we came from? All I had to do was open up and begin to read in Genesis, and I got my answer. Because I have faith in God saying what God says is how things happened. So we have wasted so much energy. We've wasted so much time on trying to figure out where we came from. So I thought it'd be good to maybe revisit that for a moment. I'm going to read this very quickly. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and guess what? There was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And these were evening, and this was morning. It was one day. And there are theologians out there to say that it wasn't really one day, that it was eternities of time. There was a sun, and there was a moon, and there was light, and there was darkness, and there's morning, there's light, there's day, there's night, and God said there's day and night, and there's day and night, and after there's one day. It's really simple. This isn't hard. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made an expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning. Guess what? There's another day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering of the waters. He called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees, and earth bearing fruit after their kind, and seed in theirs." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them, and after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the third day. 3 days. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse, and the heaven to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs for the seasons, and for the days, and for the years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens, and give light to the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, and greater lights to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God also placed him in the expanse of the heavens and gave light on the earth and governed the day and the night to be separate the light from the darkness of God. Saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth and open the expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with each water swarmed and their kind, and every winged bird after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and there was morning, and now we're at day five. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after the kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let us rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. Just saying. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing and moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed of its own surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you, and every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky and everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it is so. God saw that all he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was a sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. In other words, he separated it apart from the rest of his days, because he had rested from all of his work which God had created and made. Therefore, when I hear this garbage come on the TV, that man has discovered this and man has discovered that, and now we know where we came from, and we evolved from a monkey, or we evolved from a fish out of the sea, hogwash, because I believe God. I believe God what he said. I believe it happened just the way he said. And it's amazing to see all the things that we see that God allows us to see. It's real simple. God said it. It happened. Boom. I have faith. See, my faith didn't come from something I mustered up. My faith came from God. This was what God said. And I see the evidence of that. Because in Romans it says that no man's without an excuse, that God created, and because of the creation, holds man accountable. Pretty cool. Gets better. John chapter 1 through 14. I'm going to read this a little slower. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what did we just read in Hebrews? And now we're going to see what the Word is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So, the Word is a human being. The Word is God's Son. This is why the virgin birth is so critical, in the fact that Mary produced a man-child, but his father wasn't a man. His father was God. And so therefore he had the nature of God, because without the nature of God, you can't carry the Word of God. This is true for us too. If we're not born again and have the nature of God, then we can't be the spokesman for God. See, a lot of people are telling a lot of things about God that's not true, because they've come off the pages and they've come off the Word, and they're not just simply shared the Word. And this light shines into our darkness. So see, I have the assurance that I am in a dark place, that I am born in my iniquity is what. So I have that assurance. There's no doubt that's what I am. And that came through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, which then is why I have hope. Because the Word came. And the Word allowed to shine in my darkness so that I could see. Because when it's dark, I can't see. So you don't get to decide if you're dark or not. You don't get to decide this. This is something that's revealed to you, that you're in darkness. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. So see, you first have to believe, and it's through Christ that we're able to believe, because through the word that he's sharing is where we get faith. He was not the light, but he comes to testify about the light. There was a true light which is coming into the world, which enlightens every man. So it's not that we want to go to heaven, it's that we want to be enlightened. If you truly want to know, if you truly are convicted, if you truly, you become at an unrest. And because God says, don't fear the one that can kill your body, but fear the one that can kill your body and your soul. So unless we're enlightened, we can't even begin to understand what this is about. So when we're telling people false things about God, instead of allowing them to read God's word and be enlightened by God's word, who is Jesus Christ, who is enlightening us all on what we are, enemies of God, born dead in our trespasses of sin, what's he enlightening us about? That we're sinful and God's holy, and therefore there's a gulf between us and God, and there needs to be some intercession for us, and God chose to use his son as that intercession for us. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. We just read that. And now we're understanding that Jesus Christ was there in the beginning, and the world was made for him so that he could come and suffer, so he could redeem mankind back to a righteous and holy God and create a righteous and holy and pure church. It's not about being a child of God, and it's not being about the people of God, but it's about being the body of Christ, which is supposed to be pure and holy. He was in the world, but the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. So again, God chose a particular nation, the nation of Israel, and said, through the nation of Israel, I will bless all the nations of the earth. These people did not choose God. God chose them. God said, I fear my wrath for these people. There is a wrath coming, a wrath of my holiness, and I fear for these people. Therefore, I will send my word. My word was sent in the flesh to warn the people about their sin. John the Baptist said, repent. Jesus Christ said, repent. Disciples were taught to tell the world to repent. And somewhere along the line, we have forgotten that, to tell people to repent. Here's a neat verse. But as many as received him, so there were some that received him, right? So, okay, Jesus, we receive you. We believe you're from God. Okay, we got this. Only what you're doing could, man has to come from God to be able to do what you're doing. Now, whether you're the Son of God, we don't know yet. And what happens with this information, we don't know yet. But as many as received him, Jesus, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Even to those who believe. So therefore, your belief and how hard you believe has nothing to do with you being born again. If that right's not given to you by God, you can't become a child of God. He said, it says it right there, it's plain. Even those that believe, he gave the right to become children of God. Your belief doesn't give you the right to claim what only God can give you. You have no right to claim it just because you believe it. It has to be given to you. Listen to me. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but what? But of God. But of God. So no matter how much you want it, it doesn't matter how much you think that your religion has brought you this far. If God doesn't call, God doesn't give you the faith, and you don't take that and run with it, and you don't begin to seek him through the word, the written word which he left to us, which is just as powerful as the living word. Matter of fact, he said it's alive. It's sharper than two-edged sword, and it dissects us, and it separates the bone from the marrow, which is an impossibility. And yet, we forsake the written word of God. Matter of fact, we're rewriting the word of God so it pleases our ears. See, and then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw glory, and glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh, and then the Word became written. Why? So that we would have faith. Because you can't get faith any other place from the Word. Let's look at Romans 10. 15 to 17. How will they preach unless they're sent? So I worry about the missionaries that we have going out from the churches today. I don't think they're preaching. I think they've become humanitarians. I think there are people doing the same job that they're doing, only they're trying to do it in the name of Christ. But if you're not taking the gospel in the name of Christ, then the humanitarian effort that you're doing is worthless. So I give somebody a house to live in, but they die and go to hell. What good is that? What have I really done in the sight of God? How will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Not material things, but spiritual things. This life you're going to suffer, let's give you some hope. Let's give you the assurance of your hope by let's show them where they can get faith. I can't give you faith. You can't muster faith. Faith has to be given to you. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who shall believe our report? Nobody believes truth. Nobody believes what God's word says because religion is more palatable to the flesh. All I have to do is believe hard enough. All I got to do is do what the church tells me to do. And boy, God's going to be pleased with me. Read Matthew chapter 7 and you'll find out that that's not true. So, 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So it's God's word. It's God's word. God gave that word to Christ, made it visible. Christ came and did something for us that we couldn't do. And when he left a helper to help us find our way. Faith only comes from the Word. Apart from the Word, you don't have faith. I don't know what you have. You have a false hope. We've been taught lies for a long time, folks, by men who've been to the seminary and the theologies and all this kind of stuff. And we've not listened to the Holy Spirit. And we've not listened to God. And we've got so many people working out their salvation, not with fear and trembling, but with good deeds. And they will stand before him, and he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Let's look at Luke 11, 27 and 28. So what Jesus was teaching was about, he just talked about Satan. If Satan had been divided against himself, will his kingdom stand? Because Jesus taught us this principle that any kingdom divided against itself would fall, and religion has divided the kingdom of God, and religion is falling, and religion will always fail. After he had talked about that, and he talked about a strong man who had been demon-possessed and his house had been cleaned and come back, and then because there's not occupancy of Christ taken up in that clean house, that demons come back, and it's the state of that man is worse than the first state. So after he talked about all that, in verse 27 says, while Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts on which you nursed. So now let's give honor and glory to Mary, right? You gotta watch and listen to what you think sounds good. Here's what Jesus thought about that whole idea. But he said, on the contrary, he corrected this woman, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Wow. If what you believe hasn't produced something that you can't produce in yourself, then you don't have what you need to have. I don't think we understand what faith is. You see, religion has made it to where if I believe enough, then it'll happen. When this says, if I believe Jesus enough, and I come to the end of myself and I allow him to reveal to me, because it says in here scripture that the reason he gave us the helper is to guide us through all spirit and truth. You can't worship God unless you're spirit. God is spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and truth. I think that's why we have an apathy in spirit, in worship. I think if you look at most worship places that worship, it's to please their own ears. They think because they come and worship that God is pleased. God is not pleased because we come and worship. God expects that out of us, and we get no thank you for that. See, this is what gives you freedom. It separates you from the world so you don't have to do all this religious pagan holidays. You see, I think about that Good Friday. I think about that every day. I think about him kneeling in the garden and praying to the Father. Father, if there's any other way, can we not do this? And I read about he's such in agony that, and I contemplate, and I think about this every day, is that his sweat was like blood. He was in such agony. And the reason is because he never knew what sin was. And he was going to become sin, and then God has to reject sin. And God was going to reject him, and so I realize what he did. I don't have to have a special day of the year. I don't have to gather a special day of the year to go over this again, because it's on my mind every day. And that's what allows me to come into this place and to try to carry on the worship and to present him as holy, and yet the people's ears are dull of hearing. I don't have to have a play up here that goes ahead and reenacts all this that happened. I know it's real in my life, and I know what it caused in my life. See, we can act out the play, but that doesn't make it happen in your life. The Bible says to get over the cross. It says get beyond it. And yet we still in religion keep hashing it over and over again because we're not in our daily quiet time, in our daily time, praying without ceasing, putting on the armor of God with what God said we must do. And yet we will always continue to believe what the world has told us, and it's a lie. And you will stand before God, and he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you'll be thrown into there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. You can't blame this preacher.